Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Glamour Gang, and welcome to another episode of our wonderful podcast, Hey, It's Okay. Today, I am joined by my deputy editor, Lindsay Frankel, and the fabulous Radio 1 presenter, Gemma Kearney. We're going to be talking about every controversial issue you can think of, from the news to even bigger controversy than that, ex-boyfriends and money. I think this could get a bit ugly and scrappy, but let's go.
Ugly indeed. I mean, we're talking about ex-boyfriends, aren't we?
And Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly. It's a big amalgamation of ugliness.
Gemma Kearney, welcome to Glamour. Hey, It's Okay's pod cupboard.
What a pleasure. This is fun,
it's
isn't
good
it?
To have you here.
Is it?
Cool, yeah.
You're having fun already.
I'm into it because I like it when people want to do broadcast standing up. It means they're committed and that they have energy that they want to give to their listeners.
Is that what it means? It just doesn't mean we don't have high enough chairs.
No, it's like you've got the stamina. You want to communicate. You want to express.
I think what takes us to the next level of that commitment, though, is the nudity. It's really important to me.
I mean, Joe.
I mean, you're looking fabulous.
You always look great. I mean, why have they banned the nip from Instagram? Because this needs to get on there.
I can barely concentrate right now. But, you know. And then we've got Yoris, our producer, who I'm going to end up in HR, aren't I? Yeah.
Didn't like to say anything, but yeah.
So, Gemma, you're here today to tell us about your new book called Open.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. It looks, even from the cover, Gemma, I don't know how many people of you actually know Gemma. I've had the pleasure of knowing Gemma for a few years now, and she is a big ball of sunshine. And this cover of Open, bright yellow, with a picture of Gemma on it, is even a bigger ball of hotter than the sun sunshine. So
it's also huge, actually, like physically big. I didn't expect the book to be quite so heavy.
It's a tomb.
It's a proper book. Yeah. A little bit like getting a catalogue in the early 90s, like when the K's catalogue came through the door.
Oh, satisfying. Oh,
do you remember
like
the 90s when paper was paper was so trendy?
People touched things other than screens. It's a big old bumper book, hardback with a ribbon, and it's called Open, a toolkit for how magic and messed up life can be, because I think we all know that it can be both. It can be brilliant and it can be bleak. But one thing that I like to do is apply sunshine, fun, glitter and colour. So hopefully it has all of those things.
And why did you want to write this particular book?
Well, I'm very chatty, as you know, Joe, and as anyone that's listening that knows me knows, I like to talk about things that are serious sometimes. I like to be open, hence the name of the book. I like to be frank, and I also think it's really important to just say, yes, life can be awesome, which I truly believe it can be, but also sometimes it can be pretty scary, or you can feel really scared by something, or maybe your self-esteem is low. So I kind of tried to explore all of these things things in a bumper book that is fully illustrated, full colour, interactive, you can draw in it, and that it really, it feels like it's for you. And it's not meant to be read cover to cover. It's no like literary great. It's meant to be dipped in and out of in times of need. Your
it's
friend,
a,
your
a
resource.
Manual.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And how, I mean, Gemma, you're so young. Still, what are you like, 13, 14?
Yeah, just, I mean, yeah. I'm allowed a cocktail, so let's go with 27 or something.
Okay, well, that's still very, very
I'm
young.
Not, I'm 31.
Really? Yeah. You don't look 31. You look about 11.
I got a brace. But, it means that everybody IDs me for booze now. I got a brace on my teeth,
this,
and that's
no
it. Everyone thinks
feeling.
I'm a child.
I'm going to get some braces.
That's the answer.
How did you feel equipped to write a life manual, because you do explore some really quite heavy issues. What, you know what
yeah.
I'm asking?
Yeah. I do the surgery on Radio 1, which is a call-in show. I've done lots of different shows on the radio, and for the past year and a half, I've been really getting into the nitty-gritty of some of the hardships that young people go through. I don't feel this book is just for young people. It's in the YA bracket, so a young adult. That can mean young at heart. It can mean someone that you're worried about that's, say, 13. It depends where you're at in your life. Mm. But I do think that, you know, young people have been given a hard time recently. And I think that there's such an overload of information that I felt sort of driven and compelled to try and curate it and say, look, this covers a lot. It will tell you things that you might be able to find on the internet, but I've just asked the people that I think are the best of the best. So there's interviews in there, there's expert advice, everything's been modified and safeguarded by organisations. And I've just really felt kind of, almost in an activism way, compelled to do it, because I feel like we're just splurting stuff all the time, content. And if you can just go to a book and have a moment of calm, if you're worried about someone or you're thinking about having sex with someone for the first time, or you don't know how you feel about your sexuality, hopefully bits of this book will speak to you in some way.
What struck me is, you know, we were joking about paper being trendy in the 90s, but in the 90s, I edited a teenage magazine. Teenage magazines don't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what really struck me with this book. It really validated what I've thought, is that that's such a shame that that resource is gone. I know the internet's great. I know you can find anything you want on the internet. But if you're a teenager looking for answers, you can also find pro-anorexia sites and, you know, misinformed and misguiding Instagram accounts. So I thought it was amazing that somebody would publish this book.
Thank you. I'm really humbled to hear that. And I do think that you're right, that a magazine back in the day, you knew what you were going to get. It was going to be a certain amount of pages. Some of it might be a little bit risque, but that's what you wanted because you didn't want to be patronised.
But there's no surprises if you've bought a magazine that you know is for you.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? You know what you're getting.
100%. Yeah. And that's the way I approach this book. In many ways, it is a gigantic magazine that I hope that you love and pore over and that you have for a long time.
A Bumperbino annual.
Yeah, it pretty much
remember
is.
Remember those?
Hopefully it's got that fun and humour as well. We're talking about the serious stuff because it's so easy to talk about those things because they're heavy. But also, you can colour in shoes in there. And, you know, there's glitter on the front. And I talk about
sold.
Disco dancing and period leaking. It's kind of everything.
And when's that out?
That's life in a nutshell.
It's out on the 9th of March in the same week as International Women's Day. You can pre-order it already on Amazon. Go find it and buy it for someone that you love. It's only 13 quid and you get quite a lot.
I'm getting it for my daughter.
Thank you. Yeah. And I hope that she enjoys it because it is a labour of love. I feel like I've given birth. This is my baby world. Sorry if you don't like it. It just is.
I mean, that must have been painful.
It was painful.
Yeah. You might not know this, Gemma, but you are sort of a little secret mentor for me.
It's really?
Like if I'm having a down day, I often think of Gemma because I don't think I've ever seen Gemma be anything but 110,000,000% positive. And I often think, well, what would Gemma's attitude be to the thing that I'm looking at in a half empty kind of way?
That's so nice.
But do you have... I don't imagine you having down times.
I find it fascinating that people ask me this, and it comes up quite a lot, which is lovely because that means I'm a good faker. The truth is that I know how to feel positivity because I relish in it and I enjoy it because I know how it feels to be the opposite as well, you know? Like I grew up in a household where we talked about mental health very freely. My mum wasn't always very well when I was young. I know what it's like to suffer, you know, or to struggle in different areas, and it's always different for everyone. Everyone's got their own story, and people describe it in different ways. Some people talk about mental health very literally or from a clinical perspective. Other people talk about it more creatively or more in a jokey way. You know, it's a huge, huge, scary world out there for us to live in. But I do believe that it is important to seek your happy. Like, what do you see in your eyes when you wake up in the morning? Hopefully it's something that makes you feel good. Buy yourself flowers.
Eye boogers. That's what I see.
I mean, I don't jump out of bed. Don't get me wrong. But you know, like, if I look around and I've bought myself some flowers and I'm like, oh, that's nice to look at. It's the small things. Or all my mates are going to come around for dinner on Saturday and I'm going to ply them with wine and we're going to dance in the kitchen. It's stuff like that. That's what I kind of live for. And that's what you know, that's what makes me happy. I know what makes me happy, and that makes me proud.
Oh, well, if you take nothing else from this podcast today, take that little nugget of Gemma Golden Sunshine.
Thank you. I'm such a good faker. Honestly, if you spoke to my boyfriend, he'd be like, God, when she's in a mood, she's horrible.
Well, now we're going to have a fight, probably. So, Gemma has chosen this topic. I'm slightly scared because my husband's an avid listener of Glamour Hey, It's Okay. Hi, Ross. Thanks for tuning in.
Also, Ross, her outfits are banging. She always looks awesome, especially the dungarees, my fave.
So anyone who's seen hashtag Clothes My Husband Hates, I think what Ross hates more than the hashtag, the clothes, is the hashtag.
I bet. Yeah. People just like at him all the time. Like, I love that mustard two-piece.
Well, I mean, maybe I should. I wonder what my ex-boyfriends think of my clothes. Ooh! That clip. This is what we're talking about. It's like, is it okay if you're in a committed, loving, happy relationship to still occasionally think and wonder about that ex? I mean, we all do it, don't we?
I think it's kind of natural, isn't it? Yeah. You can't, if you've been even remotely close to somebody at some point in your life, you can't help but sort of hope their current partner isn't as good looking as, maybe not I am now, but was back then. you know, it's like, I just think it's natural. I don't think you can help it. And I don't think it necessarily means anything in the grand scheme of your current relationship, but I probably don't think it's okay to then share any of those thoughts with your current partner. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah, they don't want to know, do they?
They really don't. And I don't want to know if he's thinking about his exes either.
I don't want to delve into it because I don't. Although when we first got together, I mean, Ross and I have been married a long time now. I used to quiz him endlessly.
Did you?
I don't care about my ex's girlfriends. If they're better looking than me, then whatever, or more successful. Honestly, that's
good.
Whatevs, you know. Yeah. I didn't want you. You didn't want me. That's done.
Nice.
But I was.
You're obviously much more level-headed than
no,
I am.
No, well, I'm not, because I was completely. I was desperate, and I still haven't seen any pictures of Ross's exes, and I'm so scared. And especially now, if I looked at them now, they'd be like 18 and 19 years old, and then I feel
really
insecure.
Like that anymore.
It means that you truly love him, though, because you're like, oh, my exes, they can do whatever, but it's the one that's mine that I'm actually worried about, which is kind of nice. I think that means that you found the one, maybe, right?
Well, I found like A1.
Yeah, well.
Hi, Ross.
Hopefully there are. Yeah. I think there are a few A1s out there, hopefully, you know. We try. It's trial and error.
Yeah. I'm the opposite, though. I'm just so blinkered. I don't want to know. I kind of just like to think that he had zero interest in anyone other than me, and then he met me, which of course is unrealistic.
No, I heard that was what was the case.
Yeah, obviously.
Hi, Ian.
Hi, Ian.
I mean, I'm a realist. Chemistry, life, science, you know, if you've smooched someone, you will never be able to eradicate the fact that you've smooched them. Okay, but
absolutely,
it doesn't mean that you are yearning to smooch them again.
No.
You just have a connection. And I think that that's okay. And hopefully it can be just a friendly one and a respectful
one. Well, no, see, I'm not one of those well-adjusted people who can have relationships with ex-boyfriends on any level. That's it. We're done. We're dead to each other.
I've
never been able to do that. I don't understand how people navigate that, you know, inviting six exes to the wedding. It's very cool, isn't it?
It's like, it's quite hippie.
I think it's weird. And I find it really awkward when you're at a wedding. You say, oh, how do you know the bride? Or, well, we were engaged once. It's like, oh, okay, have a nice time. You know.
Are you friends with any of your exes, Gemma?
I am actually all right with them. I wouldn't invite them around for dinner, but I'm cool with them. And actually, I always respect my exes. Firstly, because they put up with me. And also, I just think if I've spent a long time with someone, I kind of like, I hope that I have a respect for them. I mean, there are some toxic, awful ones, but we just won't go there. But, you know, most of them, I mean, I'm making it sound like there's loads.
I mean, there's no judgment in the pod cupboard.
It's all good, I think. I mean, this has come up recently because of my book launch. And I was like, should I invite my ex? It's like, nah.
Okay, so confession time, ladies. Who has Googled the exes? Like, who has Googled that? I wonder where they are now.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
And when I did it a while ago now, just out of curiosity, I was actually, I'm not going to say who, or I'm not going to date it, but I was absolutely drenched in shame that I ever fancied
really?
Them at all.
Really? That's amazing. That's so therapeutic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because our brains play yeah. tricks of us, and yeah. we think, oh, you know, we could easily kind of get into this weird cycle. Like, oh, I think I still love them and those fun times, because we all are great reminiscing. But if you spend some time with them, or you see them drunk at a wedding, or, you know, you find the picture where they just don't look in the same way that they did, then it's
suddenly look in their 40s
go, like,
and not.
Why have I been like yearning for this like lie, yeah. basically?
But also, I think it's quite easy when you're in the sort of slight day-to-day of normal life. You know, you've woken up and your husband's been snoring all night. I'm just speaking for myself here. But, you know, he's been snoring. And
and me, weirdly.
And, you're yeah. thinking about, oh, God, whose turn is it to put the washing out? You know, all those boring things in life. It's quite easy, not easy, but I guess it's quite natural to occasionally have moments where you flip back to some
that time you're
love.
On a yacht in oh, Monaco yeah. with that ex.
That billionaire
yeah,
ex
that
I had. No, just those times when, you know, it was a different time, you know, when you were 18 and obviously life was very different. Exactly. And you know, it's all of those things. It's like, and I think thinking about an ex is just sort of part of that. It doesn't mean you actually want to be with that ex. And I don't even really want to contact any of my exes. I don't really have any interest
also,
in that.
Also, we have to remember the influence of the internet here.
Oh,
we take it for granted that it's just so much of our lives. We don't actually break down very often how bad it can be for us. It is great. The internet is cool. You found this on the internet. I hope you're having a lovely listen. But like, seriously, when it comes to exes, just don't go there.
Yeah.
Like, stop following them on Instagram. Don't go down the rabbit hole where you just start like trying to work out who's who, like who's that girl he's with. And it'll come up with falsities.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is it awful that I quite like the idea of exes stalking me, though? I'm just going to pretend that happens, that I'm the one that got away.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Looking good in your dungas.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We had a features meeting yesterday, Gemma, and the podcast is very much a reflection of the way we speak in features meetings. And we were talking about how we just cover life's events at the moment, that, you know, the current world situation, the world news. And a couple of people in the office admitted that they've completely had to switch off. They actually can't handle watching the news or reading about the news. And we were wondering if that's okay. Is it okay to disengage from world events in a kind of a cold turkey way? I don't know.
Personally, my opinion is yes. I think that we need some self-preservation, particularly in times of uncertainty and kind of shaky ground, which it does feel like. I feel like nobody has any answers, really. Not the news. Mm. No president or politician has the answers that can tell us what's going to happen in the future or what's going on right now. So we shouldn't just follow one thing. And I think that constant news updates can be very confusing. And your phone constantly buzzing because things are changing so quickly. That never used to be a thing. People would buy a newspaper, spend some time leafing through and having some kind of some calm to how they soak up what's going on around them. And I think it's important to engage and empower yourself. Everybody should use their right to vote. People should be vocal but considered. And we should be considered, you know, within ourselves and look after ourselves. How can we be effective in any way in terms of good people, good friends, or potentially an activist or become a politician if we're frazzled and we're crying and we're angry and we're upset and we're filled with guilt and we're unsure?
But also, if you don't know anything,
yeah, that's true.
How do you engage?
I think that it's important to engage. You know, I don't want to sound too contradictory.
No, and I think I really sympathise with that whole sentiment. I completely. There are days when there's that meme going around on Facebook at the moment where it's like the logo of BBC News, but instead of says breaking news, it says, oh, what the fuck now?
Yeah, you know, and I mean,
and that's how it feels.
It does. It just feels like it's relentless.
I feel like I need, it's overused this word, but it's toxic and I need a detox. Yeah. Mm. But I also feel like maybe things are so frightening and on a knife edge that we need to be armed with information and be activists, but I don't know how to do
there
that.
There is a middle ground. There is. That definitely is once a day working out what's happened globally. Otherwise, we will frazzle ourselves quite literally. I know that we are already. Too much pondering online like can reduce me to tears. I don't want to be crying in the middle of the day. Yeah. You know, I've got stuff to do. I want to be proactive. I want to be a good citizen. I can't burn myself out in that way, but I do want to know what's going on. And I do want to know how I can make things better and set a good example. And that can be in small ways. That can be in your own community. That can be within your family, within your workplace, within the clothes you wear. It can actually be, you know, small, simple steps to working out like how to deal with this. But having your phone buzzing constantly all day, every day, soaking it up, getting really angry and palpy ain't cool for anyone. Mm.
But also I found myself in response to this, I am finding it, you know, we're all journalists. It's in our nature to be tuned into what's going on in the world. That's like what we do. But I have found myself on a personal level away from work thinking I just can't deal with knowing any more about this because I'm quite scared. I feel scared when I hear more.
I've learned that I, as much as I do feel quite informed by something like Newsnight, it actually means I can't sleep if I've watched Newsnight before.
Because
it's on at 10:30 till 11:30. Yeah. You know, if there's enough hideousness in that, I'm awake till 3 o'clock in the morning.
But what I am trying to do is instead of, like you were saying, about like clicking on every single link that you see and every Twitter, you know, following it constantly, is I'm reading the paper in the morning, but I'm going to what I would consider respected news sources, i.e. long-standing newspapers where I know that the journalism, whether it's kind of biased in certain ways, it's written by journalists. Yeah. And I'm watching the news on the BBC and, you know, and I'm reading my morning paper and that's where I'm getting my information because I find that if I click on every single link that I see on social media, I don't know what to believe anymore and there's a lot of stuff that's quite terrifying, but I don't know how much of it is
and how much of it is true.
Yeah. I think there are three things to remember. One of them is echo chambers. We are friends of people like ourselves mostly on Facebook.
Exactly.
So we're going to hear the same shouts that we want to scream and that can maybe be too much of an echo chamber. You don't want to scream yourself and then hear the screams again and again and again. So just be careful as to like how much of the same news that you're receiving. If you've heard about one huge thing that's happened that day, is it necessarily worth reading the full 10 news stories on the one actual story? The agenda, think about where you are actually sourcing it. If you are outsourcing it, you know, not just the Facebook rant and agreeing with your mate and liking their angry statement, but what agenda does this particular news place that you're going to find your news have? Is it right or left wing? Do your research and work out where you stand within that. And that's totally up to you. You don't have to be one way or the other. That's up to you as an individual at what drives you and what makes you feel okay. Work out where you're getting your news from, because the internet is not just a place filled with fact, it's also filled with absolute rubbish. So echo chambers, agendas, and also just yourself. Like, how do you feel? Mm. How do we feel? How do we react to things when our heart's broken? It's, you know, we're slightly different. We deal with things in different ways. So if you need to turn the constant notifications off your phone, turn them off. You're not a bad person. Maybe you're just slightly more sensitive than someone that's rigid to it.
I'd be so interested to know what you, the Glamour audience, thinks and what you want us to cover online, because I really sympathise. There are times when I turn on the news on whatever medium and I think, do you know what? This is actually making me feel sick. Mm. And I feel powerless. I don't feel like I can do anything to stop whatever crazy shit Donald Trump's doing today, or you know, or whatever's going on with Brexit.
At the same time, you've got to remember, we have to remember that there are going to be so many people that don't even see this as bad. You know, like we, you know, I publicly remain like politically neutral. I get upset about sad things, you know, I'm allowed to say that, but it's actually quite good training for me. Like, I work for the BBC, and you have to remember that there are lots of different opinions going on. So I'm just really for, you know, engaging, you know, educating yourself, empowering yourself politically, whatever that may be, and working out how you can kind of peacefully and calmly make a world and an environment that feels good for you.
And then I think just institute a policy of cats playing piano on the YouTube. Just one day a week, just watch that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, have a good party. Dancing is the future. That's just so simple. Have a boogie.
So wise.
So when are we making you Prime Minister then?
Oh, no. So many people are going to be like, nah, nah. Though, I do want everyone cool and brilliant out there who's just a great person to not just engage in politics and work out where they stand, but also to become politicians, particularly women. So young women, we need you. We need your voices. We need to create the type of place that, that makes us feel good and doesn't make us sad. So if you are up for it, you can do it too. Not just the posh guys that went to Eton with shiny pink faces. Everyone can.
If you're enjoying listening to Glamour, hey, it's okay. And why wouldn't you? I mean, honestly, Gemma, what would you give it out of 10?
I'm loving this. Yeah. 5,000.
Yeah, brilliant. So that's the kind of review, guys, I want to read. And if I like your review on when you subscribe on iTunes, if you leave a review for us, you might end up with a little present from your friends at Glamour.
Ooh,
so get involved.
All right. That sounds good.
Now, this is one of those topics that I think you're never supposed to talk about in polite company. So let's do it.
That's why podcasts exist,
yeah.
Right?
Hey, is it okay to be tight with money?
No.
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 But every rich person I know is quite tight with money.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
I really dislike, I mean, it, well.
What
actually,
if you've got no money?
That's different. Define what you mean by tight.
Oh, I don't know. I guess, you know, I've had friends who I adore dearly who have, you know, split the restaurant bill down to the last half a p. People who say, well, oh God, actually, no, I can't tell this story. I'll have to tell you off air. But, you know, people who will ration up the toilet paper, you know, it's.
You see, if you need to be careful because you have a certain amount of income that you have to make sure covers everything it needs to cover, I don't think that's called being tight. I think that's called being able to live. People who've got enough money and don't think that they should ever spend it or just do something nice with it or just even treat somebody or share it or help out somebody who's got less money than them, then no, I don't think that's okay. That's tight in my book.
Though you are being very diplomatic, I'm going to be more crass and just say...
On. Well, you're probably going to say what I want to
say. Tight people do my head in. Seriously. And it's about a kind of... It's a type of personality. Obviously, economically, I am not for poverty or saving or being sensible with money. You know, that's ridiculous. And people that are struggling, it's horrendous. I know what it's like to have no money. But, you know, in terms of a sentiment of a person, it's nice to be generous. So you can be generous in spirit. You can make a cake that doesn't cost very much money. And I do think that regardless of wage, being generous is a really nice attribute. And tightness is just so gross.
But how do you tell the difference? I'm aware that I'm sounding like a super tight person right now, and I'm really not. But I just think that, I don't know. I feel like some people are just really territorial about their money. And I don't know if we're allowed to be really judgmental about that. I just don't know.
But I just think it becomes obsessive and it becomes too much of a guidance for people. I think greed can take over, and I think greed is just so it's such a waste of time. Like money doesn't equal actual like change in emotion. Like, what do you do with your money when you finally get it, when you finally get paid? Like, what's your thing? For me, like, I live and work to play, not to get things. I mean, I like to be able to go on holiday rather than be sensible and put it into a house.
But have nice experiences.
I'm gonna out myself now with any of my friends who are listening to this, but would you ever do anything like that? The classic is splitting up the restaurant bill, isn't it?
Mm.
And I think most of us have that one or two friends who will say, oh, but I didn't have a pudding. There's three of you and there's only one of us, and you know, and all of this. So you sort of sit there with the calculator working it all out. Now that winds me up believe.
Yeah.
But I would never say anything.
No.
Ever. And so it's, you know, you saying it's absolutely not okay, but would you ever actually call somebody on that sort of behaviour?
I don't. Do you know what? I've never really experienced it to that extreme. So I don't know.
I have.
I did have a conversation with somebody once when she was going out for a bit. She was pregnant, so not drinking.
Slightly worried this is about me.
No, it's not you. And her husband was driving, so he wasn't drinking. But everyone else was having this big boozy lunch. So, of course, you know, the bill comes and there's X amount of bottles of wine on there. And she said to me, I actually, for the first time ever in my life, went, but I've had like about £12 worth of something, and you know, this is like 60 quid ahead.
I think that's fair enough.
Yeah. And I don't think you should feel bad about saying it, but I think nitpicking over small amounts of money, to be honest, when I've had periods of not having any money and friends have said, we're all going out for dinner, do you want to come? I've said no, because I'd rather not, if I can't afford to do something.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've kind of learned as I've got older, actually, that, you know, I used to just get myself into debt to do things that I wanted to do. And as I got older, I realised that that's not maybe that sensible.
Yeah.
So, and one time when I was particularly broke, and it wasn't that long ago, it was a couple of years ago, and a friend of mine said, oh, let's go and do this. And I said, well, I can't go for dinner. I'm just broke, but I'd love to see you. We'll have a quick drink. She took me for dinner.
Yeah.
And I've never forgotten. It just felt like the kindest, nicest thing. And she just said, buy me dinner when you've got some money.
I think the honesty is really important there as well. It's just saying, you know, I'm not really in a position to do that, but it would be really nice to meet for like one glass of wine instead. And you never know, if your friend's lovely, then you might get your dinner bought for you anyway.
Exactly.
I know that
I
would buy you the
it.
Dinner. but I would still like to see you. And I do think it's situational, isn't it? Situation by situation. Again, you know, a physical thing of being pregnant and everyone else is getting absolutely like ratted around you. Like,
which is
maybe
annoying,
you don't want to pay for all of their cocktails.
And but pull back all their hair as well. It's a really bum deal there.
But I think that that's a different mindset, isn't it? Yeah. I just think that mindset where your first thought is, well, how much is this going to cost me? Is such a horrible...
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a difference between that and being, if you're actually quite skint, and I speak as somebody who's been skint many times in my life, you know, to just think, oh, I can't afford to do that. You know, it's a different thing to kind of going, well, I don't see why I should pay. You know, that's just not a very nice way to be.
I think we've got to be careful how lavish we make things as well. We're very lifestyle orientated. We love to show off, don't we? We love to show off like our fancy stuff, our fancy holidays, our fancy clothes, our fancy times, our fancy food, our fancy weddings. But I think it's really important to remember that we are all in different situations. And if you are a good friend and you're talking about something that does involve your friends or all family, then you should think about where everyone's at, because it can often be quite different.
But that's interesting. I think you saying that, I think that this is where sometimes it comes from, people using that thriftiness as a badge of pride. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that that's sometimes that spills over. People get so obsessed with how cheap can I get something that it becomes quite obsessive in itself.
Oh, I hate that.
No,
really,
it's not a good
like
thing.
That.
It's quite rare, actually, that real ingrained... that really like tightness. Like, I think some people are careful, but I do think that ingrained tightness is really
I think I've just had a lot of bad experiences. I mean, I had an
aunt. You've got loads of really
who
tight
are you hanging out with?
This was a relative who actually, she was obsessed with how much things cost and how much she could, how cheaply she could get them. And she's the one I got a used lipstick off for Christmas once.
I love that story. But you see,
that's
this is
funny.
In this situation, this
well,
is
it kind of is.
My husband's favourite quote then would be that to your auntie, she knows the cost of everything and the value of nothing.
Is that a wrap?
Almost.
Oh, okay. Do you know what I do want to say? So I'm launching a podcast.
Tell us all about it.
It's going to be different to this. It's going to be like sort of mini documentaries exploring stuff within the book. So it's called Open Up, and I'm going on tour and I'm speaking to young women and men all around the country.
What about old women?
And old women.
Yay! Lindsay, we're in.
Go the old women.
Yeah. We're just chatting. We're going to do this, and we're going to chat to lots of people, and it's going to be like a series that accompanies different themes within the book. So friendship, family, sex, consent, you know, some more serious stuff like self-harm, and also just like fun, like DIY and creativity. So Open Up's coming soon.
And when are we, when will that be, do you know?
It'll be launched in March. So look out for it.
Excellent. You're a powerhouse girl. Radio One Surgery on Wednesdays.
Yeah, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. You can listen to the Radio One Surgery book coming out open. You can find it for pre-order online. Just look for it. It's bright yellow. You can't miss it. Lots and lots of activity. Follow me online and just go with it, because I'm always going on about something.
She's always going. I mean, that should be your logo.
She's always going on about something.
She's always going on about something.
But I hope it is positive. I like to go on about things that make people feel good.
Well, you can come on our podcast and go on about things as often as you want. Thank you so much today to Lindsay Frankel.
Pleasure.
And the lovely Gemma Canny.
It's been so nice. Do you know what? I know you're good friends with Dawn, our mutual friend, Dawn O'Porter.
Never heard of her.
But you really remind me of each other, which is lovely.
Aww.
This is nice.
She's
this
my
cool.
sister from
yeah,
another
Yeah,
you mister.
Are kind of sisters. This is cool.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.